Continuing with principle 12, discussing the two ways, we've been discussing suffering with insights from the Bala Sulam. Last time we read on page 35 and 36, number 4 and 5, so we can discuss them a little now. He mentioned here about mitzvot, which we haven't talked about yet, which very simply means the spiritual practices of Judaism are called mitzvot. And he already, in the example he brought here, he brought out an example with eating kosher. So there's a principle that will be coming up talking about the Torah and the mitzvot specifically. But since it's already being mentioned here, so the mitzvot are the spiritual practices of Judaism. And although the general spiritual practice, which is everything that we're discussing now, and all of this learning is spiritual practice that is for all of humanity. It's what we're all working with, this transformation. We discussed before how our universal soul, as it divides into our billions of individual souls, we learned that there are 70 different soul roots, which are the 70 spiritual nations of the world. And that every nation has a particular nuance to our spiritual transformation that nation is working with. So the soul root of the nation of Israel has a particular work to do with the mitzvot of the Torah, with the particular spiritual practices of the Torah, that some of which are not applicable to other nations. So for example, there's a mitzvah of eating kosher food. There's certain foods that are considered kosher, certain foods that are considered unkosher. And one of the spiritual practices of the Torah for Jewish people is to eat kosher food. For somebody who's not Jewish, there's no mitzvah for eating kosher food. It's not helpful to a person spiritually to particularly eat kosher food if a person's not Jewish. But for somebody who's Jewish, for that aspect of our soul that we're here to work with, so it's important for a Jewish person to spiritually to eat kosher food. So not to get into that concept right now so deeply, but just bringing it out for when he brings here an example of, like, he said, imagine, for example, that God guided the world in a revealed way, so that anyone who ate something unkosher would immediately choke. Right? Anyone who performed the spiritual practice of a mitzvah would experience ecstasy and wonderful physical pleasure. Here he's speaking specifically in this moment to a Jewish audience. But the idea is that he's saying if it was revealed to us that in any good deed we did that's applicable to each of us in that particular moment, if it was revealed all of the divine ecstasy and blessing that's actually happening through every good deed that we do in that moment, if that was revealed to us, then we would be running to do good things all day long. We'd be running to help anybody any way that we can. The same way that now we're running around trying to serve our self-interest, we'd be running around trying to be in a place of giving and loving others. If it was revealed what's actually going on through any true act of giving, any deep spiritual practice, real spiritual practice. And the same thing, if we would do something that's in a place of only serving ourselves, something that goes against what would be the divine service in that moment, here we brought eating something not kosher for someone Jewish, or take it each in our own way, to in any moment doing something that's only serving my own desire and not trying to go beyond to being in the divine will, in a place of divine service, any act of doing something not good, if it was revealed to us what's actually going on with that, all the damage and destruction that causes in every moment that we're disconnecting ourselves from the source of reality, we're closing the channels of experience through our self-interest, we're cutting ourselves off from experiencing the life of life. So to the extent that that's revealed to us, we wouldn't do anything bad. Right? He started in this section to say that our disconnection from God and all the mistakes we stumble in and all the pain and suffering that we go through have one single cause. And if it were not for this one thing, we'd be instantaneously released from all our suffering and our hearts and souls would unite with God. The root causes are lack of understanding the way God is acting with us, are not understanding divine providence. If it was revealed to us just very clearly that every moment that we're acting in a state of unconditional love and giving, that we'd be connected to, we'd be experiencing ecstasy. And every moment we only try to serve ourselves, it would be painful. So then, of course, we'd all be completely righteous and immediately. So he says the only thing stopping us from being completely connected in that way is that it's hidden from us what's really going on. But then he goes on to say, and we learned that all of that hiddenness is purposeful. If it was revealed to us the ecstasy in every act of loving kindness and suffering and every act of only being concerned for ourselves, so all of our working within that would be self-serving, because we would stay away from every act of self-service because it feels so bad, and we'd be in the way of giving to others because it feels so good. We wouldn't be learning how to reach the state of truly loving others, because everything we would be doing would be rooted in serving ourselves, how it feels. So the hiddenness of the divine providence, the hiddenness of what's really going on, that every act that we're doing of loving outside of ourselves is connecting us to all the divine goodness. And every moment of only being concerned about ourselves is disconnecting us from that, is purposely hidden from us right now, so that we can learn to be reaching that state of transcending our self-interest and reaching the place of purely giving and loving in the direction of actually loving the other. In order for us to learn how to go beyond our self-interest, so what's actually happening needs to be on a deep level hidden from us. That's the ideas discussing here. And he said in number 5, as long as we're trying to gratify ourselves, we suffer. Even when we get what we want, we always want more. As long as we're in the direction of just trying to serve ourselves, even when we get what we want, there's moments of satisfaction, but we always want more. Living our lives trying to satisfy ourselves leaves us empty and unsatisfied. If, on the other hand, we live our lives to give to others, our lives are satisfying and joyful. And that's the whole switch that everything is discussing. We're all trying to be happy, all trying to enjoy from life, which is what we're here to do. We're here to enjoy to measures we can't even dream of. But at first, we're trying to enjoy from life in the way of trying to serve ourselves and get things, thinking that that will bring us the enjoyment. But that doesn't bring us enjoyment, only sparks. And the more that we're learning to try to just shift that whole direction from trying to serve ourselves to the place of truly living, loving, and giving to others, so that whole shift is what's shifting us into more and more connection with our divine source and being able to be truly happy. Okay, so we'll stop for now, and God willing, continue next time.